I'm still learning in my position. There are some things that I'm working on, but I think the top things would be the mindset of our teachers, making sure that they're seeing students asset-based wise. For me personally, goal setting for our team. And then the other two focuses would then be the resources that we're using. We still have an old curriculum that we're trying to use, and
This
kind of what's
week,
happened is.
California high school math teacher leader Giovanni Padalano returns to continue where we left off from last time. While his goal is still clear in that he strives to assist in pushing practice forward in his school across his district, today we dig into where that work might begin to ensure that there is enough alignment across his team.
Should Gio and his colleagues dig into filling the gap in the canopy of their mathematics program tree by investigating a common curriculum resource? Or might they begin in the branches, tinkering with different pedagogical practices to seek out small wins?
This is another Math Mentoring Moment episode where we speak with a member of the Math Moneymaker community, a person just like you, where together we brainstorm strategies and next steps for teachers to overcome pebbles they have in their shoe by growing all six parts of their mathematical program.
Welcome to the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast. I'm Kyle Pierce.
And I'm John Orr. We are from MakeMathMoments.com.
This is the only podcast that coaches you through a six-step plan to grow your mathematics program, whether at the classroom level or at the district level.
And we do that by helping you cultivate and foster your mathematics program like a strong, healthy, and balanced tree.
If you master the six parts of an effective mathematics program, the impact of your math program will grow and reach far and wide.
And each week, you'll get the insight you need to stop feeling overwhelmed, gain back your confidence, and get back to enjoying the planning and facilitating of your mathematics program for the students or the educators you serve.
Friends, in this Math Moment episode, we bring back Gio and we continue the discussion. We actually get right to it and we start to discuss where should this work begin? It seems overwhelming, as you'll hear, and I'm sure you've been there too. Let's see, should we go down the path of a curriculum resource exploration, or might there be another place we begin in the canopy of our tree? Let's go.
Yeah. So listen closely. We're going to talk about the leadership, which is the trunk of the tree. We're going to talk about the leaves of the tree, which is the resources. And we're going to talk about some of the limbs of the tree, which is the PD plan, the PD journey that the teachers are on. So listen closely for those elements of the tree, and we'll see you on the other side. Yeah. Fill us in. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what's going on over in your neck of the woods right now.
So I am the math department chair at my high school, and we have two high schools in the district. And right now, we're still in the middle of waiting on a curriculum adoption. I think the district's kind of waiting for the new framework to come out in order to do that. And we've made some moves. We had some meetings at the district level about our vision for the math classroom for 5, 7 years out. And we brought that discussion back to our teams. And last year, we kind of built kind of a plan, just a little outline of things that we were going to need to move forward with it. So we started some PDs to line up with that, but it just seems like there's so much work to be done that it's hard to kind of stay focused and keep things moving forward in a positive direction when so many different directions to go.
Yeah, totally, totally. That is definitely a challenge that I think many are up against. You're in an interesting role where you're in the school, you are school-based leader, right? Being in the classroom, but it sounds like you've got some ties maybe to the district level as well, and maybe even across to some other schools as you try to envision what that might look like and sound like. Tell me a little bit more about that vision you were saying about 5 to 7 years out. What did that look like and sound like? I don't mean to put you on the spot. So if you don't have it, let's say memorized or anything like that, but you can maybe describe some of the characteristics that were emerging from that discussion around a math vision.
Yeah, well, I was quickly able to access it in my email. So what we came up with was students engaged in intentionally designed, meaningful discussions and tasks to cultivate curiosity, builds conceptual understanding and problem solving skills and perseverance.
I love it.
It's pretty awesome. Loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots in there. So it's almost like a wish list that's kind of been put out there and you've tried to capture as many pieces of that wish list as possible. Now, would you say, if you were to look at it the way it's stated today, if let's say there was a way for you to snap your fingers, wave the magic wand and be able to make all of those things happen, do you think, would you be there? Would that be, that's it? Or would you say that's sort of like a vision to get us to the next stage? And then there would probably maybe be more wish list items, maybe adding. The reason I ask this is just trying to get sort of a sense in terms of, I guess, trying to build and help you build clarity as a team moving forward.
As of now, I mean, I think that's the ultimate goal for us is for that. Our district has a portrait of a graduate thing that they came out with, and it aligns with a lot of the things mentioned in that. So seeing that and seeing the discussions of our district with all of our sites, it seems like that would be our overall focus and goal. It's really to build all those things and encourage more discussion in the classroom and more critical thinking.
Got it. Got it. I'm wondering what you think about these things that we're looking for. What would you say currently is a pebble that you're struggling with right now? I know that you reached out to us for that, but fill us in on a little bit more details there. What else can we dig on here today?
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still learning in my position. There are some things that I'm working on, but I think the top things would be the mindset of our teachers, making sure that they're seeing students asset-based wise. For me personally, goal setting for our team. And then the other two focuses would then be the resources that we're using. We still have an old curriculum that we're trying to use. And kind of what's happened is our teachers know where we're trying to go because we've been talking about it for so long and we've been looking at a lot of different pedagogy for so long. But the problem is that our textbook doesn't do a good job of helping us get there. So what's happened is teachers are all over the place getting resources from all over, which is messed with our alignment in our classes.
Got it.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I think that's a common path that we've seen schools, districts, teachers, especially when there's so much out there. We can grab this, we can see this, and somebody's passed this at a conference, or maybe you saw this online, and I got all these resources, and some of these pieces are doing well here or doing well here, but it's like, where's our real focus? You're trying to do this over here, I'm trying to do this over here, but our students are kind of seeing different pieces, and there's not a lot of cohesiveness in the sense of making sure that we're all kind of moving together and students are getting the best experience from grade level to grade level or across different grades. There's a lot of kind of disconnect when that kind of happens, for sure.
Yeah. So for that, what we're kind of doing is, I don't know, I was thinking illustrative math as a good jumping off point for us to utilize just because it's referenced by the framework and so many other curriculum that we looked at. So we're considering kind of pulling some lessons from there for lesson study purposes for next year, so we can kind of align that way. But that's where I'm at right now. And I don't know if that's worth it or if it's worth taking the time to try to see how we can adapt what we have now.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's ever a right or wrong way, but one thing that is clear that you've already sort of been setting this vision, right? So, which I think is really important because you want to know what it is that you're in search of, right? And Illustrative is definitely a great curriculum. And John and I, we work with many different districts and schools, and oftentimes they come with a variety of different curriculum resources that are already in place. And really what we try to do is sort of help them work with what they have. However, in your case, it sounds like you don't really have anything as sort of the starting off point. You have a bunch of random things or maybe different things. So maybe it does make sense to start with something like an Illustrative as a starting off point, or there could be other options as well where you look to some resources that are out there. For example, on our website, many of the day one tasks from our units are open and available for educators to use more as not necessarily to be the ultimate curriculum resource for someone, but to help you achieve some of those wish list items that you heard or that you shared on that list or on that math vision that you had shared with us. So I would say if you're finding that Illustrative seems like a good starting point or a jumping off point, that could definitely be a good place to start. Or maybe it's another resource like you had said. But ultimately, where I think the most benefit will come to your team is actually taking a little bit of the, essentially taking a little bit of what you're doing now with your vision, ensuring that you sort of as a team kind of come together and try to figure out whereabouts are we maybe losing or not getting some of the results that you're looking for. So for example, I didn't have a chance to type all of the wish list items, but I think perseverance was one that pops into my mind. And it's like, so where currently is that not happening in our classrooms? And then by going down that rabbit hole and sort of almost doing a needs assessment on what math class looks like now in our classrooms, is it the same when I go into Geo's room? Does it look similar or sound similar to when I go over into this other colleague's room? Are there any differences? Are there extreme differences? And sort of starting there to try to figure out where are we in this journey? And where exactly seems like a good place for us to begin? And that might help you sort of make a better choice or a more confident choice as to whether maybe illustrative is a starting point for you or a jumping off point, or maybe something else, or maybe there's some other area that actually is in need. So for example, and I'm going to ask you in a second to sort of paint us a picture of what it looks like and sounds like in a typical classroom based on what you know. But before we do that, if I'm going into a classroom and let's say students are being essentially given the gradual release of responsibility sort of model where we share an example, we do a problem together, and then the students go off on their own. There's some little things that we can do as a team where people don't have to call it throw out the resources or start from scratch, where we can just take what we were doing before and adjust what we're doing with those resources in order to potentially get to one of those wish list items. Does that make sense? Or I know it's kind of a complex way of saying it's like back mapping towards what is it that we want to work on first? And is there a way that we can actually do that now? And when I say now, it's like it could be as early as tomorrow by simply going, we're not getting this. I think it's because of that, because it's a thing that we all do commonly. And I wonder if we can change a little bit of that, given what we're normally doing, so that everyone can engage in it versus it being like, let's do a big selection process. Let's push this down the road until we have the tool that's going to sort of come in and save the day. Does that make sense at all as I'm describing it there?
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. I think another hard part is kind of building the consensus with the whole team. We have a big team here of 24 teachers. So that's another thing. But yeah, that does make sense looking at what we're doing and how we can just kind of change that slightly. And painting that as a picture too is, hey, it's not a whole ton of work to completely tweak this lesson.
Right. That's actually what popped into my mind right away when you said is like getting everyone the consensus. One of the challenges with any core resource selection is you're going to have to essentially get consensus on the resource. Or if you don't, if it's just like, that's the one we're going with, then you're going to have some people that it may not work for. There's pushback. So you're going to have that challenge regardless of which way you go. But the one thing I think that may be easier, though, is that if you could all come to a consensus on one part of a lesson or the way we deliver lessons, typically, we can all agree that, hey, we all sort of do this thing. I wonder if we tried working on that together and let's see if we can get any momentum there and then slowly grow it. And that might lead to a different curriculum, but at least it's probably easier to get a consensus on that than say an entire curriculum resource, right?
And I was wondering, Gio, that I think when we chatted last time, we chatted about kind of this consensus and helping teachers kind of aligned to this vision. What would you say have you done so far since that last convo?
So I've just been utilizing kind of quotes and articles to keep us focused on rationally thinking through kind of the pedagogy that we're using and how we are trying to align to this goal of ours, our five-year plan goal. So just using resources and discussion to try to kind of get us to get towards the same, try to build consensus, basically. It seems good, but the thing that's always that's still holding a few teachers back is kind of just this deficit thinking mindset and then just thinking that it's going to take a whole lot more time and work to kind of switch what they're doing in the classroom. I think those two things are the biggest obstacles for my team to get past.
Hey, Math Moment Makers, Kyle here, and I've got just a quick message specifically for our district-level mathematics decision makers out there. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels when making district-level goals for mathematics programming from kindergarten through grade 12? Setting new goals each year only to find little to no real shift in pedagogical practice or educator content knowledge across the district as a whole? Take a moment to book a short call with our team so we can learn more about your specific district and educator learning needs in mathematics so we can assist you in taking the first step of many in the right direction. Visit makemathmoments.com/district to book a web call with our team today. We have a limited number of spots for districts just like yours, so don't wait. Head to makemathmoments.com/district and grab a spot in our calendar now.
Speak a little bit more about when they're thinking time and work. What do you feel like they're kind of referencing there? What do you think is the real struggle there? Because I think a lot of teachers think we've got a lot of work to do in our jobs. It takes up all of our time. If I'm going to switch, is it more time and work? What do you think is the real barrier there? Because I think a lot of teachers always want to do what's right for their teachers. But usually there's some sort of real blockage that's not really the time. It's not really the effort because people do what they want, right? That's one thing about our careers. Even though we have to teach curriculum and we have to teach these standards and there's people giving us so many initiatives and we got to do that, we got to do that. I feel like there's still a lot of creativity and choice in how we do things, right? There's not too much standing over top of you going like, here's exactly the playbook. You follow it. You get a lot of choice in what to do on a regular basis. So when I hear about teachers saying, I don't have time for that. There's really something else there that's really blocking that move. What do you think some of that might be for the group that you're working with?
It could be two different things. One, just uncertainty of exactly how it should look. And then two, are we actually going to be supported if it doesn't go well?
Right. And I feel like that's totally what teachers are feeling. If I go down this path, is it going to be a waste of time? And somebody got actually to come over my shoulder and actually say that I wasn't doing the right thing. And another big thing that we see as a blockage is that, like, how do I know this is going to be better? To go down two pathways, and this is the pathway that's comfortable. And I know that no one is criticizing me. My job is not in jeopardy by following this path because everybody's gone down that path before. And everyone continues to go down that path, but it doesn't actually make a difference in what's happening in the classroom with students. But if I go down this path, it's possible. You're right. Could be tapped on my shoulder to say, what are you doing? What's going on? And then I wasted all this time and I don't know if this is going to work. I'm ready to put some time in if I know that you told me at the end of this journey, my students and I would be better off, but I don't know that yet. That's a big leap for me to kind of go down that path. So it's like, what can we do to help them alleviate that worry and concern that, hey, everything is going to be okay if I go down that path, but that worry is there. What do you think is a way to remove kind of that worry for folks?
I think just clear language from the districts and the leadership, really, of, hey, we have your backs doing this. We know it's going to be a long road and we know you're going to hit some bumps, but we want you to continue this process and see it through. I think that would make a huge difference. And just making sure that we're aligned through all grade levels too, because if they're trying to build this discussion using specific talk moves down in junior high, even elementary level, then when the kids come to us, they kind of know that routine already. Whereas if it's not fully aligned that way with that pedagogy, then when they get to us and we try to do discussion, it's a lot more difficult for us to kind of pull it out of them. And we're still not that skilled to be able to kind of turn them around that quickly.
Right. And then the blame game happens there, right? It's like, Kyle and I, we hear this all the time. It's like, I have to get ready for the next grade. I have to get ready for the next grade. But if they get to the high school or another step up, hey, you guys were doing something completely different than what I'm doing. I'm going to blame you guys
on why this kid's not ready and this whole blame game that we need to get away from. So you're right, district, if there's a clear message across vertical stretches, then that can't be an excuse anymore because we're all supposed to be doing this. And we can't say you didn't get the kid ready because we're all following what the direction from the district is. So we do have to align these messages across the entire district. And it does have to come from top down, but it's us that can influence the bottom up to make that a reality.
Right. I was going to add on there and sort of say like that is the work that we do most with the districts we work with is trying to help them to develop. Because the reality is, I think in our heart of hearts, we all want students to be successful, right? But are we clear on what that even looks like, right? We could say like they all get high grades or they all are able, and not necessarily that they will, but they're maybe able to enter into some post-secondary programming of some type or whatever that benchmark is. But what does it take to actually get there? And oftentimes what happens is, especially at the district level, they're feeling the same pressure that we're feeling in the classrooms as well in terms of support. Because like now they're dealing with the parents, they're dealing with the community or the trustees or whoever else. Maybe it's the actual state or provincial level organizations and so forth. So they're experiencing the same challenge. And sometimes that could be a really, really tough spot to be in. Not to mention that trying to actually gain some sort of alignment can be really, really challenging. So that's the work that we tend to do with the districts and the districts who are committed to engaging in that work. It's hard work and it does take time, but what they're able to do is they're able to start better understanding, and I'll say each other, right? So the educators sort of understand where the district leaders are coming from, the district leaders understand where the educators are coming from. And you build essentially that trust. And when I think about where you are in your role, a school level leader, my head kind of shifts back to something we were discussing earlier about in terms of your starting point and in terms of ensuring that we can avoid some of those barriers. So to have that support, I wonder if by starting very small, if it will at least reduce that fear or that challenge or that speed bump that I'm going, well, I normally do this. And if I tweak this over here, it's like, I'm not going to lose all of what I'm doing. It's almost impossible for it to completely turn everything on its head where now I'm going to get a finger pointed at me. But maybe I can see how this piece actually either productively or unproductively affects the end result in my lessons. Now, on the downside is that when we do that, right, it's great as a starting point, but then sometimes though the results aren't all that significant, right? Because if we're only changing this little tiny thing, we obviously can't expect that everything's going to be perfect after a few short weeks of time. But if they're looking for these little wins, right, and we usually do this with our district leaders too. So their little wins might look and sound a lot different than, say, a teacher's little wins. But if you're looking in the lesson, you're going, where in my lesson is there this holdup? I want to get students to persevere, but it's like, I feel like the bottleneck in my lesson is blank. If we can see signs that it's helping to get them closer to being more persevering or able to persevere in the classroom, then we can do a little more, right? And we can do a little more and we can kind of continue inching down the road. And again, same process is happening at a district level. We're going, you know what? Here's where we are now. You want to do all of these things, but let's pick this one thing that you feel very passionately about. What's one thing we can do? And then we can add the next and add the next, but let's get the wheels turning here so that people can start to make small change, which most humans, we're all impatient, right? So you're probably going to be like, ah, that feels so slow. There's so much work to do. But by getting everybody on board and to have some sort of quick win that's generated from that work as a team and then celebrating that win, it might open the door to maybe larger changes with maybe less fear because they've already got a feather in their cap from the work they've done previously.
From what I've gleaned from this, I think we can, like you said, start small on some things, maybe build in, okay, let's try to implement these small little lessons or little tasks in our class and bring them back and talk about it. And figuring out how we can measure if there are signs of a change in the perseverance of the students. so that we can kind of talk about hitting that goal.
That's some good next steps. And I'd love to talk again about if you try that and then come back and chat with us about how that worked. I think that would be super helpful for you and also just us to kind of chat about where you are on that journey. I'm wondering also, do you think it's possible we figure out how to chat with, say, some of the district leaders to try to bring this alignment in place? Is there a name that you can reach out to, we can reach out to bring us together and go, hey, look, let's chat about what are some solutions we can do together to kind of create this alignment so that everybody's working towards the same goals because we're feeling like it's a little disjointed?
So I talk closely with our superintendent of secondary curriculum, and she kind of oversees all of this. We're talking about trying to meet over summer, do something like that. So I can mention it with her and reach out to you guys. Does that sound good?
Awesome. If they're open to the conversation, it's always great when you already have sort of that connection, because of course you don't want to overstep or anything like that. And of course it's non-judgmental. It's just bringing it together and going, hey, how can we have a productive conversation about the work that you're trying to do in your world, but then also how might that work help at the district level, right? In terms of trying to spread some of that, I'll call it excitement, because you're here taking time out of your day to try to do things a little bit more effectively over time. And we can't thank you enough for the dedication and the passion that you're putting into trying to push this pebble or kick this pebble out of your shoe anyway.
Hey, I can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thanks for the chat, my friend. Take care and enjoy the sunshine.
All right. I'll reach out to you soon.
All right. Chat soon. Have a good one. Well, my friends, in today's episode, we had a great continuation to our original conversation with Gio. And I got to say, as a school-based leader, he is obviously very committed to his team, to his students, and really to his district, because he wants to see this vision come to fruition. I also liked how he had mentioned about it was like a 5 to 7 year vision. And I think oftentimes we look too short term. It does take time. Now, of course, we're not going to try to slow it down so it stretches to 5 to 7 years. But in reality, we do have to make small changes as we go with a big vision in mind. Here today, two of the main areas. Well, and like John said in the intro, one of the biggest pieces is that leadership piece, that trunk part of the tree. Trying to get aligned can be really difficult and a struggle. But in his own school, in his own environment, with his own colleagues in the building, it began with this discussion between the canopy, where the tree, where the branches and the leaves are. And if we think about the leaves and we think about the resources, there was sort of this discussion of, should we explore a curriculum resource like Illustrative Math? And that could be a place to begin. But then we started talking about alignment, and we had talked about maybe buy-in. How do we get everyone to sort of agree on something? And that sort of got us kind of going from the leaves and heading towards the branches, which we like to consider the pedagogical practices. It seems like regardless of the leaves or the resources that you might be using in your classroom, we can make smaller adjustments and potentially come to more of a consensus as a group as to where some of this work might begin. If we start small, we can build from there. And maybe through building that trust, we might be able to agree on more things and bigger things as a team over time than, say, when you begin the journey and start digging into the work. So I'm really happy with where this landed. And actually, John, we asked Gio if he'll come back to us and keep us updated. So we're excited for that conversation as well.
For sure. As always, both Kyle and I learn a lot about just teaching math in general and leadership when we have these types of conversations. And when we start to analyze the 6 parts of the tree and where we can make improvements. And if you are looking to kind of grow your tree, whether it's your district or school level tree in your mathematical program, or maybe it's your classroom tree and you're trying to strengthen up the elements of an effective program inside of your own classroom, you can go ahead and get our 3 report, which is going to give you a report on the 6 areas on where some strengths are and where some improvements are needed. So whether you're a classroom teacher or you're a district level educator looking to support math teachers, you can go and get that report. And by filling out our assessment over at makemathmoments.com/report, that's makemathmoments.com/report. We'll send you that report by email as soon as you fill out that assessment.
Now, for some of you friends, you may have noticed that every single morning for the past week or two, and I plan to continue doing it, I wake up and I make sure to post on Make Math Moments on TikTok. That's right, kids.
What?
We're on TikTok now. So if you are,
I noticed that,
and hit follow. If your kids are, grab their devices and hit follow, and they'll get some of this math content over on TikTok. So head on over to @MakeMathMoments on TikTok, but also on all other social platforms.
In order to ensure you don't miss out on new episodes as we publish them on Monday mornings, hit your subscribe button on your podcast player, wherever that is, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, maybe you're over on Google Podcasts, somewhere,
sure, you're
listening to this right now. And I've already done that, then welcome back and consider leaving us a 5-star review. That helps us and other educators strengthen their math programs by finding us. So make sure you do that, please. And great job.
If you're looking for other resources, including show notes, transcripts, any other resources, be it classroom tasks, articles to help push your practice forward, or if you're district leaders and you're looking for some of the tips for PD faux pas that we've published as of recently, head over to makemathmoments.com. And again, for this specific episode, you can head to /episode247. That's makemathmoments.com/episode247.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast, where we help you grow your mathematics program like a tree so your impact can reach far and wide.
Well, until next time, my Math Moment Maker friends, I'm Kyle Pierce.
And I'm John Orr.
High fives for us.
And a high five for you. If you are a district leader of mathematics, a math coach, a math curriculum coordinator, a superintendent, a principal, getting teacher buy-in for effective math teaching practice is top of mind. And plans only go so far. You can make, you know, detailed plans and carefully designed goals with clear objectives and key results that are measurable. But that can feel like it all falls flat if we can't engage our teachers in the work. Working with teachers who do not want to change their teaching practices is one of the most frustrating and challenging parts of our job. How do I help teachers engage in effective teaching practices when they keep pushing us away? If you can't reach the tipping point in mass adoption of effective mathematics teaching strategies, then it's likely we won't see student improvement in mathematics. We have a free training and accompanying workbook for leaders of mathematics like you. The Make Math Moments team, myself, John, and Kyle walk you through our 4-stage process we use with district partners to create clear, measurable, sustainable PD action plans, but more specifically on how to also get teacher buy-in so that it drives student engagement. So step one, register for this free training, get your planning workbook, and then watch the training. Schedule some time on your calendar so you can watch it and go through the workbook. After completing that workbook, you're going to have a clear, measurable vision, action plan for mathematics to get more teacher buy-in, but also be able to hit your goals for the 2024-2025 school year. So head on over to makemathmoments.com/4stages to start this free training.